All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Supercar Cast. We're back. We had a bit of a lull. We just released an episode, so hopefully this one will come out shortly after it. But good news is, when we're gone for a while, that means we got plenty of updates, lots of things going on across the board. So I'm sure we can just fill up this entire episode with Project Car updates. As always, I'm your host, or one of your hosts, rather, Oliver. And joining me are my fellow co-hosts, Andre, Drew, and Nick. You guys want to say hi?
Hello, hello there, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
And Andre just doesn't want to talk. That's cool. That's cool. No problem.
Okay, I said hello.
All right, it didn't register on my end. That's fine. That's fine. Technical issues. All right, well, should we just launch into project updates? I don't think we really need to
hang around too much
in the introduction.
we got the routine down pat, so... tell us, Oliver, what have you been working on?
Oh my God. So last episode, I had just finished editing and posting that episode. So I kind of remember, what we had talked about. I had just put that suspension on the M3 and I was going to go autocross the S2000. And, I'm going to go ahead and say right now, I never autocrossed the S2000. That never happened. And in fact, I listed it for sale almost immediately after that podcast. So S2000 is long gone.
I didn't know I was selling my beloved S2000 to a car flipper.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Just disgusting.
I'm really ruining the market. Actually, I mean, if it's any consolation, or maybe it's not, because I feel like this group will tend to immediately assume this kid will crash it, which might be true, but it did go to a kid who was very excited about it, and his dad, both very big into cars and everything like that, and so I think he liked it a lot more than I did. But yeah, it sold pretty quick. But also, selling that car led me to like my worst Craigslist experience ever.
Oh, like, that's right. I forgot all about Mr. Prancing Pony.
Yeah. So okay, I listed it up for sale, and I guess before I launch into that too much, I should say the reason I listed it up for sale is because I wanted to focus on the M3. Not that the S2000 wasn't great to drive, but I just decided that's sort of more the priority and more what I enjoy. So nothing against the car. It's just I can only do one or the other. But yeah, I listed it up for sale and put it on Craigslist, and I started getting like text coming in. First dude came to check it out. Probably just a tire kicker, wanted to test drive an S2000. I think he was bored on a Thursday afternoon. And he took it out for like a 35-minute test drive, so I'm sure he beat the snot out of the car. He leaves, whatever. I'm used to that. I've sold enough cars over the years to like know how this all works. So the guy texts me and he's like, hey, I want to come take a look at it. I'm like, sure. And he asks like really surface level questions, which again, Craigslist, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, all right, can I come check it out? Like, now? And I said, sure, someone's test driving it, but head on over. He was like in the West Valley or something, so it was an hour away. By the time he gets there, I come outside, and there's a bright yellow Ferrari 812 super fast parked out front. And like, you got to keep in mind, this is like a $15,000 S2000. This is not like some super high-end exotic car. And it's not like, I'm selling some 0 miles, crazy S2000 or something like that. This is not a collector's piece. This is just a high miles, whatever. And he pulls up in an 812 Superfast, which I don't, does anyone know what the retail on one of those is?
What's more than I can
about
afford,
300,000.
Yeah, 300. Is that what he said?
I think so. The MSRP is $336,962.
So okay. Homie rolls up in a house, essentially.
No, he rolls up in a house from last year. He can't buy shit this year.
And I'm like, oh, this dude is definitely buying it. I even sent a photo to everyone, like, of the Ferrari parked in front of my house. And I'm like, look what this guy showed up in. This guy gets out of the car, and he, like, walks up to the front of the car, and he's like, so what's the story here? I'm like, hello to you, too. Kind of weird. Nice car. And I was like, well, here's the deal. I bought this pretty recently. I have not had, I was very transparent about the whole thing. Like, I have not owned this car very long. I did X, Y, and Z. I replaced the fluids. I fixed a couple things on it. Just put in a new master cylinder for the clutch. but you know, I'm looking to sell it so I can focus on my other project. He's like, okay. And he starts looking at the front end, and admittedly the front end of this S2000, like you could tell it had some like crappy paint work done at some point. And it was missing a VIN on one of the fenders. So like I suspected something happened, like a fender bender at some point, but I never looked up the Carfax. So I didn't know. I honestly legitimately didn't know what the history of the car was. And he's like looking at it, he's like, so what the hell is this? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, this, it's clearly been in a wreck. I'm like, what do you mean? It's had paint work. I don't know. I've never run the Carfax, you know, but it's had paint work. I don't know if they resprayed it because like a lease. I don't know if they resprayed it because like it got in a fender bender, but yeah. But I pointed out like all the frame rails were straight. All the structure was there. He opens the door jamb and like on the spot runs a Carfax for the VIN. And he's like, I don't know what you're trying to pull here, man. I was like, what are you talking? What is going on? Like, this whole situation is absurd. It's like, I don't know what you're trying to pull here. Clearly you're just trying to flip some junker. This thing's been in an accident. And I was like, oh. And then he like keeps scrolling. It turns out that S2000 had been two accidents. It had been rear-ended, and then something happened in the front, the front passenger side. I was like, dude, I didn't know. But yeah, I guess so. That makes sense. Like I even said in the ad, like it's had paint work. Like the paint's not great on this thing. He like went off and then he just stormed. He got into his Ferrari and then zoomed off. And I was like, does this guy who's driving around a $300,000 Ferrari have nothing better to do on a Thursday afternoon than come down to my house and argue about a 150,000 mile S2000?
Wait, hold on. Was this guy short?
Yeah, he was shorter. Okay. Do you know him?
No, just I'm building a profile of this person in my head.
Yeah, he was pretty short.
Happened by like 100 Bitcoin, you know, 2008.
Yeah.
Sold it, bought a Ferrari. Nothing better to do.
It was the strangest, and I mean, honestly, the worst Craigslist experience, because I actually kind of felt crappy after that, because like I'm not trying to pull one over on anyone. I didn't know there had been any accidents, but also like why are you yelling at me? What the hell?
Well, then you reached out to me and I felt terrible. I'm like, dude, I did not know it was in two accidents.
Yeah.
I'm like, it feels pretty fair, and
yeah,
I just felt terrible. I'm like thinking in my head, I'm like, fudge, dude, like,
yeah,
I was that.
It had nothing to do with you. I was just telling you the story. Like, I knew reasonably when I bought it, like, there's no way this car has this much paintwork on it and something didn't happen. But I can also look at frame rails and see, like, the car's straight. It's fine, you know? But it was the strangest thing. I've literally never had that before, where someone just, like, he showed up basically to pick a fight and then sped off. And again, in a Ferrari 812 Superfast, which is like, I think the most expensive things he could show up in, you know? So,
did he at least make a...
What?
Did he make an offer or no?
No, he literally, he's like, this has been in two accidents. I don't know what shady, you know, sort of thing you're trying to pull here, flipping cars like this, but you know, this is real wrong of you, man. And then he like left. He didn't say another word. He just like walked to his Ferrari, opened the door, sat in it, and left.
I'm almost curious if he was a flipper and he was expecting something better, but didn't do the homework or didn't read the ad and just saw the miles and the color and briefly looked at the pictures and then was more pissed off at himself that then got projected towards you.
Yeah, that's pretty idiotic on his part.
That sounds like it comes from a personal experience.
No. Don't know what you're talking about.
Drew's like, yeah, I've done that four times. Yeah, it's pretty idiotic on his part, if so, because whenever I list a car for sale, I put the VIN always in the ad. So the VIN was there. He could have saved himself the hour drive.
Oh, God, that's the worst. And then people are like, hey, can you send me the VIN? I'm like, dude, it's in the ad.
In the ad.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. So anyway, after that, the father and son showed up and took a look at it, and the dad was a body guy, like a paint and body guy for 20 plus years, and so he knew what he was looking at. And the kid had been saving money. He just graduated high school, and so this was like his first cool car. he's pretty stoked on it, and we got to talk, and I guess it was just family of car guys, so they've all had a lot of cool stuff. You know, who knows what'll happen. His dad has an FD RX-7 that he's got a 3-rotor he put into it, but it's been parked for 10 years, so he's got a 3-rotor RX-7.
Still have his number?
Maybe somewhere. Why?
I'd reach out.
They're down in... See if they're down way south of us, but no, there's no way. He's like, now that the kids are finally finally graduated, he's like, I can finally get it running again. So yeah, I
could just see it trailering it back to my house and then calling up Aaron and be like, hey, bud, I got a 3-rotor. And I'm going to LS swap it.
Perfect. I'm down for that.
Actually, hold on. Let's find this number.
Burn it to the ground.
Do you want to put a 1.6 Miata motor in it instead? Let's just make it an anchor. My God.
Like the most expensive troll job ever.
Big giant Turbskis on it.
That would cost a fortune. But yeah, no, so I'm glad they got the car. They're they said they're going to repaint it. They just moved here, and he has a friend with a full body shop, so they're going to do all the prep work and then paint it there. So he's going to get a fresh coat of Suzuka Blue, and the kid was like, weirdly stoked that it was all stock. He was like, I love that it still has the original radio and stuff like that. And I was like, sweet. Hope you take care of it.
Yeah, they're hard to find in that condition.
Yeah.
What else have you been up to? Is that it?
Oh, no. Jesus, no.
I know.
I know that's a loaded question because you guys know what I've been up to. But yeah, so I sold the S2000, and that was specifically basically to fund the dream, as it were. So Nick and I went on an adventure here. What was it? 2 weeks now? 2 weeks ago?
About 2 weeks ago. Yep.
Yeah. And I bought a new engine for my M3. I got an E46 M3 engine, the S54. So for those not familiar, that's it's another 3.2 liter. So I'm not changing any of the displacement, but this thing is like dual vane house, factory ITBs, revs to like 8,500 RPM, makes 330 horsepower. It's the motor my car deserves. Like this is the thing that the M3 should have had. In fact, the European cars actually did have something pretty similar. So,
is this the first engine you were going to buy for that?
No, I had a couple false starts.
Yeah, you should start at the beginning of this road.
Yeah, so I'll start with the fact that I did end up buying one, but it was not the first one that I was going to buy. Let me tell you, there are none of these engines out there. I spent the better part of a month just posting everywhere asking, like, hey, anyone got one for sale? I want to buy. I made offers on complete cars. I made offers to dudes who weren't even trying to sell their motors. And I could not find one. And this guy lists in a group, and he's like, hey, I have a whole S54. The only catch is it is literally fully disassembled. Like every piston was out of the block, you know, the head, the cams, everything was disassembled. And I was like, well, maybe for the right deal, this could make sense because then I could get it all reassembled and have like a 0 mile fresh brand new engine for less than I would, you know, a high mile motor. And I was like, well, let me message the guy. We went back and forth, kind of talked about the details. It turns out that he had an E30 he was going to swap last year. COVID hits, he loses his job, you know, same story we're hearing from a lot of people these days. And he ended up selling the E30. So then he had this motor he blew apart to refresh, no car to put it in, just put it in a corner. Okay, whatever. That all checks out. He sends me a bunch of photos, you know, the block on the inside, the cams, everything like that. And I started asking around to shops to reassemble this because there's no way I'm going to try to put it back together. I'm going to pay someone to do it. And one shop, thank God, they knew like the questions to ask. They're like, hey, has he done any head work? I'm like, yeah, they said, he said he went through it. He put like titanium retainers and valves into it. And they're like, check to find out specifically what had been done with the head work. So I message him back. You know, I had put a deposit on this. I was going to fly out with Nick to Sacramento, rent a car, and drive it back to Phoenix. And I'm like, hey, you know, what were the details on this head? And again, he had told me it was refresh, and I had pressed for details, and he never told me that anything specific about it being oversized valves, right? He never once mentioned that, which is a pretty significant thing to mention.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh yeah, here's the paperwork. On the paperwork, it's like 1 millimeter oversized valves. I'm like, oh, like shit, that's not good. In BMW land, especially with like S54s with the dual Vanos and everything like that, if you run oversized valves because it's an interference motor, you can't run variable valve timing, right? The valve will contact the piston. And so unless you get like custom pistons with big enough relief and then it changes compression ratios, blah, 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 you can see the problem. And they're like,
lots of work, lots of work. And not really suitable then, right?
No, once you delete Vanos, it becomes like a really peaky motor because you basically set everything to like post Vanos. And so you get no low end torque. So it only really works at like above 5,000 RPM. Completely useless to me. So I ended up bailing on that one. The dude kept the deposit, which I felt like was a little unfair, but fortunately it was only $100. So whatever. Way cheaper than actually buying that thing and then being screwed. But it worked out well because the motor I ended up finding was closer. It was in LA and the dude was way better to work with. So you can actually follow him on Instagram, WTCC_E46. This guy, Ernie out there, he has this really, really sick E46. Nick saw too. I don't know, Nick, how would you describe it?
So this thing is, when you roll up driving in the morning in a sweet, sweet Master Pro van that's hollow in the back, and you got to roll up into nice, gorgeous weather, some perfect purple trees. I'm not expecting to see this just full-on built track car, just scaffolding and like carbon everywhere, and just it was Need for Speed Most Wanted come to life. In the sense of the vehicles there. It was just this awesome, crazy, super rare body kit carbon. Just, it was absolutely cool.
It was nutty.
I can't say how cool it was to see this in person, just chilling in this small little place in Southern Cal.
Yeah, we're in, you know, the suburbs of LA. And he lives in like a condo complex, so he has a garage there. And there's just literally this full-blown Time Attack car like sitting out. He rolled it out of the garage, and it's nutty. I fully encourage you to go look at the photos of this thing. They don't do it justice. But long story short is he had this S54 sitting in the corner that was going to go into that car. And he's like, look, here's the deal. I have 4 kids. I have other projects going on. I need to get this chassis painted because he just got it caged and the cage was starting to oxidize. And he's like, I don't have any more time. There's no way I'm going to get to the S54 this year. The money I make from selling the S54 is going to let me paint the whole chassis. So I was kind of like suspect on why he wanted to sell it. But once we saw everything, it made sense. But it worked out. Yeah, I got an S54 with the harness, with the cluster.
With a badass engine stand.
He even gave me the engine stand, which is like a half ton crazy. I mean, you could put diesel motors on it and it'll be fine. He gave that to me. He gave me oil. And then the crowning piece of it all is it came with a CSL style carbon fiber airbox, which is just like, I'm so excited about that.
So good. So good.
I picked up the lot. So that's my engine now. So that's going the 36. I started to prep it. But yeah, I'm stoked. I'm really, really stoked.
And then the motor's coming out soon, though. The motor's going to be coming out S52 in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, if you guys are free.
let's do it.
Yeah, I need to take out the S52. Andre, whenever you're free, I need some help with Vanos and rod bearings.
Mind. Andre, as our resident BMW expert, how do you think he did on a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know. That's too old for my knowledge.
We were talking about this. Andre, you've never done Vanos on an S54, right?
I've never done anything except for like oil changes on an S54.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is uncharted territory for both of us, but I feel like instinctively you'll know better than I will because I've never done anything like this, but I have to address all of the weak points of this motor. So yeah, I don't know. So that's I started tearing it down. It's upside down right now in my garage, like dripping oil out of cylinders 4 and 2, I think. And I don't know. Hopefully next couple weekends we'll tear out the S52 and we'll get it all going quickly. I pretty much have all the parts, so the swap shouldn't be too complicated, but yeah, I don't know. I'm stoked. It should make some decent power, more power than it makes right now. So.
And then did you ever make the call on the tune? Were you having your ECU updated or what that rundown was?
Oh yeah. So yeah, we could touch on that. So with the CSL airbox, the carbon airbox that I'm running, there's no MAF. So I'm going to have to run a MAP tune. But in order to do that, I need like to upgrade my ECU. I have one out of a 2002 M3, and the later models had the correct ECU. Not a big deal, but it just means I have to send out my ECU to get like another board soldered in and a bunch of other stuff like that. So
I didn't even know that 2002s had ECUs.
Mine did.
Get him.
I don't know if you remember. Mine had a sweet trash bag to cover it.
Yes, it did. Actually, I forgot about that.
Because the car was rusty and it leaked, and it would leak on the ECU. So it was in a garbage bag in the glove box. Yep. Lovely. That should have been the biggest red flag about that car. But. Yeah, so that's what I've been up to. I sold an S2000 and I put all of that S2000 money into a swap. 100% of that S2000 money has been spent on the swap.
Hell to the yeah, though. It's going to be super awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it better be for the cost of this. Anyone who says this swap costs $10,000 is a fat liar. So...
So are you going to get rid of the 328i badges and just like put the little M3 ones on there now? Or
I was thinking of putting like M4iX M badges and then like powered by S54 in giant graphics down the side.
Well, you should just put like the 550M on there because, you know, it has more numbers. So obviously it's faster.
Right. Obviously, that's the amount of horsepower I'll be making.
Exactly.
But do you know what is faster? A DCT transmission.
All right.
So, I mean, not that I need to. I've been talking long enough about my projects, but I have done the research, and it is currently, as in with parts available from vendors right now, possible to put an F80 DCT with my S54 into an E36 chassis.
Wait, totally could you possible. Put both of them in there?
Put both of what?
Both engines at the same time?
I guess you could if you have a lot more money and fabricating skills.
How much is an F80 engine?
Engine? I don't know. Yeah. Trans is like $3,500 to $4,000.
That's actually less than I thought.
Yeah. You can get an E90 DCT for $2,000 all day.
Yes, you can.
Shocker.
Yeah, so there's a lot of the Time Attack guys, and I don't know, maybe Nick, you wanted to talk about this. We can sort of transition to yours, but
no, go. I'm with you. Sorry, Drew. You're gonna not like where this is headed, but I am all in on the DCT now.
Yeah, so it's starting to like slowly trickle out there where people are basically treating these DCTs out of the F80s and E90s as budget sequentials, because you can get the transmissions fairly cheap. Compared to like a Hollinger or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a Jericho transmission, you know, $4,000 versus $40,000. They hold really good power, especially if you get like the F80, because those are big torque, high power engines. And on the standalone ECUs, they shift just as fast. And so you're maintaining them with OEM parts. And so like Time Attack guys, there's like S2000 guys now who are all dropping these F80 and E90 DCTs with turbo K24s for like full Time Attack. And like the videos of them ripping around the track is amazing, because it's just ripping through the gears instantly, and they're all running E90 DCTs. And so that seems to be the budget sequential hack these days.
I'm a little insulted you never sent me one of these videos, but...
Because it just started an argument. remind me. I'll send you one.
I might have one handily. I'll try to get over to you, Drew.
It's
legitimately the S2000 with the DCT on the dyno is what made me go, holy shit.
Oh, yes.
It was like, I had no opinion either way last time because I'm like, I don't really know. I don't understand. It is what it is, kind of a moment. I understand why we want manual. This could be faster. Great. Then I saw this S2K on a dyno with a DCT, and my jaw kind of dropped a little bit. Just it ripping through the gears going, and I was like, yes, that is your streetable, like, sequential gearbox. Like,
that car is not streetable, but...
that car is not. That S2K is 1,000% not, but... Yeah. That is what changed my full opinion. Well, I didn't even have an opinion. That's what formed my opinion of DCT was seeing that video. It was absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Did you ever drive that one M3 that, you know, our buddy used to have?
Yeah. Oh, I drove the E90, E92 quite a few times.
Did you enjoy it or no?
I loved it.
Okay.
That was manual.
Maybe one day you and I should go out and try and find a DCT that isn't trash, but good luck trying to find one, period, right now.
They are so silly. Hot right now.
Everything is... We'll talk about this when you get to me. Just bitter.
Yeah, but so the thought... Here's what's going to happen, I think. I'm going to put the S54 in with the manual for now. But I think long term, I'm going to seriously explore this DCT swap option for the E36. Even if I hate it, like, say I put it in and, like, I was like, oh my God, Drew was right. This is the worst thing ever.
I don't think it would be that bad. Like, I think it's livable. It's just, what do you want to experience when you take out your weekend car versus.
I don't know. I really want to experience that for a bit. If I hate it, I'll put a manual back in. But yeah. Long term, I want to try that. Just because it's cool. In the meantime, I'm buying a $1,000 shifter to make my manual as good as it can be. So,
oh baby, you know,
CAE chassis mounted, self centering, should be fun. So yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of the broad updates here. In the next couple weekends, motor comes out, and then I have to tell myself every single night, this is going to be worth it. This is going to be worth it because
it's so.
Yeah.
What if it's not?
Then I'm going to cry because such an expensive swap. Everything costs a fortune. When you add the tag S54 to it, just double it.
Really?
Yeah, it's insane. So, yeah.
Have you heard about our Lord and Savior K-Series swaps?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I wonder if I made the right call or an LS.
No, I think you did. I think you'd be very unhappy if you did anything else, except maybe a three-rotor.
That's true. Three rotor would probably do it. Yeah, I mean, this has always been the goal. I probably should have said that is since before I bought the car.
Yeah.
I have been talking nonstop about an S54 swapped E36. So that's literally been the goal since before I owned this one. So we're getting close. I have a motor. I own an S54. So we'll see how it all goes. Who should we go to? Nick, you want to go up?
Oh yeah, no. We'll take it from there a moment because kind of ties in going on that adventure. So updates for me. Been out and about driving the Miata more, which has been fun. Been working on the Nissan PAL. So that went to start as a simple brake job.
as it always does with Nick. Now every body panel is off. Every bolt's been plated. Mm. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Kind of. No, we're working there. We're bit by bit. So went to go do brakes. Went to go rebuild the front calipers, change the lines, do pads and rotors. Rotors are wrong because even though they say they're for a Micra K10, finds out Rock Auto ships K11 rotors, which are not the right depth. So we had to find new rotors shipped from Japan. We shipped new brake pads over from Japan. Get to the rear drums. The only way to get drum hats are shipped from Latvia. So those were shipped in from there.
Why Latvia? I feel like they're pretty popular for auto parts.
I don't understand. Latvia and Lithuania right now for me are just bringing the house. And I don't know why. I
think it's because they have a lot of like industry, like heavy industry there.
And so also found out the front design is odd for the control arm. So I have two control arms coming out of Riga. But to do the control arms in the lower fronts, you actually have to pull the axles and pull the hub on the front. Yep. Because you can't get to the ball joint on the bottom otherwise. The rears are, you actually have to remove the wheel bearing and the hub to actually just change the drum shoes if you wanted to. So you actually have to pull the axle nuts in that full setup. So that was exciting to find that out. I've got new springs and stuff coming from Greece there. A lot more stuff coming out of the UK. Calipers are off at powder coating right now. Rear axle will be dropped. I'm dropping the full rear axle and redoing it in its entirety right now because it looks gross and I can't have dirty trash. And inadvertently at the same time, we reached out to a guy about switching over to some motorcycle CBR 500 carbs onto basically ITBs for the PAL. We got really close to like me buying them and shipping, and then I got ghosted. So instead, I bought coilovers.
Nice. Yes. So,
please tell me those came from like South Africa. I need something to come from South Africa.
I can probably get that order tonight. There was actually no joke a part I was looking at that is in South Africa currently. So maybe I'll just get that order tonight to go out and fill that.
When you're naming all the places, all I could think of is the Pitbull meme, like Mr. Worldwide. Yeah. It shows the guy ordering car parts.
That's literally what I sent Nick when he started telling me. I was like, I just sent him Pitbull.
Just Mr. Worldwide. It has been insane to source anything. And so my coilovers are done by Gizfab?
Yeah, it's Giz. It's definitely Giz.
I've called it that way too wrong, too much.
G-I-Z. Giz.
Yeah. So Gizfab is doing my coilovers and doing my trailing arms. So I have adjustable trailing arms coming in as well. So he's actually the same guy I found out afterwards that's done all the nutty, crazy like header work for the Pipey McGraw guy. I don't know if you've ever followed him on Instagram, but awesome. Got the bug eye and everything else. So it's so that's all coming in for the PAL. I had contemplated just immediately converting my coils over to Air Ride just to drop it down immediately.
Do it.
I will say it might not be Gizfab because in the same sentence you used nutty header and piping. So, and you know, great. Like how some people call a GIF a JIF?
That's incorrect, though.
Oh, I'm just gonna leave it there.
That's amazing. So I've already started looking into the conversion over to Air Ride. I just need coilovers in hand though to make sure that I have the diameter correct for the tube. So very similar, I feel like, to you, Oliver, where you needed specific diameters before you could order parts.
Oh god, no. Yeah, for the rod bearings. Yeah.
Once those are in hand, if I go straight for that conversion, I'll get the 4 Air Ride bags in and then the management system, the tank and everything, and flip over to that. So I've been doing that work. Other work I've done, I dropped the gas tank for the 4Runner and replaced the fuel pump, but I did an idiotic thing, which was didn't ohm out the fuel float to see that it would actually give the proper resistance. And that's awesome. And so at this moment, I also think I'm kind of done ordering Rock Auto. I've had three things in a row that have just bit me in the hind end a moment, but mostly my own fault. Didn't center the steering rack on my own because I was dumb. I don't know why I thought they would have centered it shipped to me. And then this, I didn't ohm out the thing. So now I have a 4Runner that has a magically full gas tank at all times. So it's always full. But
hey, you and Andre should like merge your 4Runners.
Yeah,
that'll fix swap? Both your problems.
Wait, Andre, what's your issue, Andre?
I got less than 200 miles on my last tank of gas, and I don't think that's right.
I don't think that is.
Something's wrong with his reading too.
So good.
I'm not sure what's going on there.
We can do some tank drops. I'm real good at it. I did it, lack of better words, in about 2 hours, 3 hours only because neighbors kept talking to me. So
that sounds horrible.
It's not the most fun, but I will give credit. 4Runner didn't make it the absolute worst. Again, he means I was
neighbor part.
Yeah, that's got him. But kind of true at times. But no, it's so yeah, we did that, and that was just the funny part about that though is the light that gives you the low fuel reading isn't triggered off the float. That's a different sensor barb that goes down there. So my low fuel light still works though, like a champ, which is great. So I'll know when I'm almost out of gas, even though it says full. So I gotta run some more fuel out of it, get that taken care of, and get done there.
Really? That's a different thing.
Yeah. I had a full gas tank and the light was on. It was weird.
That just opens up a whole new world of confusion for me. Oh boy.
We got,
at least you learned something.
Good news, buddy. I'm here to play along. and we have more room with yours because yours is lifted. We can get up underneath there maybe easier.
That's true.
So did that. So PAL's coming along. I'll get that down on the ground and running as is. I'm running through some other tune-ups on it. So I'll be going through probably adjusting the valves, going through all the other bits, just making sure everything's clean and kind of running through and adjusting the carb and getting that all cleaned up. Kind of the thought process right now is get that motor running smooth, no hiccups, all tuned accordingly with the carb. Just kind of cruise on that finally on the new wheels. So we'll get those taken care of. And then Miata next up. Sorry, I feel like I have a lot of updates. Miata next steps. I'll be first prototyping a new catch can bracket. So printing that, prototyping that, well, getting that.
Hold on, because last episode you did not have means to prototype.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
You got a 3D printer.
Yes. Since then, my 3D printer has arrived. So that has been awesome. I've been playing around with it, making some different tools. I've got a print I want to do for Andre, but I got to brace myself for it. It's a 19-hour print.
Are all 3D printers that slow, or is it just like consumer grade thing?
So they can all be. You can make it print faster, but your quality lessens. So that's the thing. If you want super fine quality, you're going to have it run relatively slower.
Is this 3D printed penis you're making?
Massive.
All the ribs for your pleasure, man. All the ribs.
Can we 3D print a mount for a rear view mirror for the 912?
Yeah, we can. I started with that 3D printing, which is a good thing. I did find the software I'm going to be using specifically for 3D modeling for structures. So I found the software I'm going to use.
What software?
I will pull up the name right now. It's Shaper 3D CAD modeling. So it's built on the same design principles as SolidWorks. So it's the same designing with SolidWorks. You can have two different memberships. Your Pro, I'm not going to end up using the Pro because I don't need it to do 2D fabrication schematics for me. While that's cool, that's also double the membership a year with it not being. I started playing around with it, trying to get that taken care of and get printing. I've got an enclosure I need to print for it. I need to find a proper true location or in my office, lack of better words, that's not next to my work computer because I'd like to run it during the day to do some prints, but I'm definitively not going to be sitting next to this bad boy while I'm trying to do conference calls. Right. It's super quiet. It's just... I'll be honest, the smell's not enjoyable after a while.
I can believe that.
Put it in your guest bedroom.
Yeah, that's, I was thinking that or throwing it in the middle gym. my one friend, his younger brother does a lot of 3D printing, and he built a little cart where he just rolls it over into the garage and just lets it run. So I'm going to get his little design. I've got plexiglass to go around it, but yeah, we'll get it started to get printing and get that going.
You could 3D print the cart that it goes on.
That's like when you
can. Meta.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's how these ones are done. A 3D printer prints these 3D printers.
Is that MakerBot?
Prusa.
Oh. I know MakerBot does that. They have like farms of their own 3D printers making things for their 3D printers.
Yeah, it's wild.
How'd they make the first one?
You don't want to know.
They found it.
They found it in the wild and tamed it to print new ones.
Correct. Well, now they're breeding.
They had to have an ultra Pokeball.
I mean, technically, we're all 3D printers when you think about it. When you use action, but it's
whoa! I was not ready for that tonight. Gotta warn me before you.
The existential blow my crisis. Mind like that.
Dear God, maybe I just have been poorly calibrated my entire life.
We need to tighten your belts. Sorry, I got lost there. So I'll start getting working on prototyping a new catch can bracket. So for the Miata, there's just a few things I need to take care of. Finally put on the new catch can that I've had for months. When I do that, run the new valve cover, run the bracket.
Oh yeah, because you got like another one. That's right.
Of the exact same valve cover with just not a side port.
How many of those do you have now? Because you have the one I gave you.
I think I have 4 or 5.
Oh my god, that's awesome. The one I gave you though, I think, and not to toot my own horn, but I think is the coolest. Not that yours don't look good, but it's because we found it in a junkyard randomly.
We found the Capri in the junkyard by our house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what were the odds of that? And to me, that was the coolest one because that was the cheapest one. And now it's mag blue. So
was that Nick and I, or was that you and me?
There's all three of us.
Drew, yeah, you and I found it at one point as well, right. And then we went back.
Yeah, and I was there, and I pulled it. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, we were looking at disco parts.
Yep.
Was it disco parts?
I think so.
Seatbelts. I know you were looking for seatbelts for those.
It was seatbelts. Yeah.
Yep.
I just ended up buying those new.
Good call.
Probably the right move. I'm looking forward to seeing all this prototyping stuff, and I'm sure all of us will abuse this new hobby of yours because I already have stuff I need 3D printed. So.
Yeah, it's all about timing. My only thing that's killing me right now, like I said, is I am not printing during the day, and when we hit evening, I just have to wait to queue it up to go, and by the time I get there, I'm like, I just need to get my STL files preset. Like, I will be honest, a print that I'll probably do this weekend that has no benefit other than I want to make it is a Tic Tac gun. It literally uses like a pen spring, and it can shoot Tic Tacs. Has zero other real applicable purposes, but looks fun.
That's the most you thing that you could possibly print.
No, you haven't seen the shower head that I'm printing that takes 4 days. It's dinosaur.
Damn.
It's a T-Rex head that is your shower head. It's ridiculous, and
that's
I love
pretty
it.
Nick,
3D printers were made for you.
You're just going to come into my office. There's just be like, why is there Buddha... Patrick SpongeBob's everywhere. I don't know.
The chair's 3D printed. The computer's 3D printed. The desk is 3D printed.
All various sizes.
Yeah.
Yes. Miniatures all the way down. We'll be doing that. I will finally. I'm gonna redo the coolant overflow. So I do have one problem with my coolant overflow. We'll call it. It's not really an overflow. It's just a catch can. So the problem is the line doesn't run to the bottom, so it can't suck anything back up if it goes up. So lack of better words, my coolant level drops every time I go to drive. And then I have to just drain my overflow. And I have the fluid back, I can drop it back in. So luckily I know where it's all going, but it's a little annoying. So I'm just going to either modify my one to run a line down to the bottom of the tank or just get a different one and go and hide it. So yeah, we'll be doing that, fixing the tank, working some on the Miata, and then just kind of trying to get figured out what I'm doing for the next big steps on the PAL after it's running smooth. I talked a lot about the K-swap. We are looking at a very different option that's not K-swap anymore.
What, the PAL?
The PAL. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
EV conversion.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
That's definitely a step up, I think, in complexity.
yes and no, not really. So big props again to Andre for answering some of my questions, a lot of my questions, all my questions. And then really suggesting a few different things to kind of start digging into. And you actually find out it's a very simple system for the most part, like comparatively to what we're working on and what we're using. Like there's a lot of that aftermarket capability for it. So it just really comes down to getting that pricing and building the specific range I want for it, because I will not convert it for a vehicle that's going to make me have it at 50 miles or 70 miles, right?
No, no.
I am building it to get to, if I convert it to 200 mile range. Lack of better words, get it to where I can still technically drive to California in the PAL. I'm going to have to charge like all the other Teslas at midway point. It's going to take me longer, but I can still technically get that car out of state.
I mean, where would you put the batteries in that? To where, so, like, because I'm sure you could fill the entire hatch with batteries, but like, you wouldn't, that visually wouldn't be, look any good.
So I would actually convert it from front wheel to rear wheel drive.
Okay, so now we're talking about welding and subframes.
Yes.
I mean, I'm for it, but wow, this is what I meant in escalating in complexity.
Yeah. But it's cool though, because I looked at that and went, well, if I do that and I've got to weld in subframes and build brackets and do this and do that, then, then we do it. You can do it the more simpler approach and do the conversion on the front end, marry it up to your trans consistently. That 3-speed trans won't go to hold, against, electric motor, I most likely would assume.
Oh, you mean the thing that's designed to hold up to maybe 60 horsepower won't handle 700 foot-pounds of torque at zero RPM?
Yeah, I don't know why.
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
You can program out 700 torque. it can roll on at like 30.
Right, yeah, no, that'll definitely save it.
So,
imagine the first drive, he gets up to like 30 miles an hour, it's fine, and then just a massive explosion.
Out the fiberglass out the front.
What he didn't realize is that 30, it goes from 30 torque to 700.
There is no step up.
just roasting the 12s.
It's a cliff up, just bam.
You fall off. So yeah, no, I've been looking into that. It seemed really interesting, really challenging. I think it fits the car quite well as well.
I absolutely agree.
Just given the fact that it has a sewing machine, quiet little motor in it right now, you know, so it's one of those, could we make this work? And it really is all just going to come down to me running the numbers. If I'm just being very upfront about it, I know what I'm
with. Simple numbers, right? Like you can't argue with numbers.
Yeah, can't argue with numbers. It's math. We can't argue with numbers.
Sorry,
at all.
Go ahead. Fast and the Furious.
Fast and the Furious reference.
Are these simple numbers? Just how much it's going to cost?
Yeah, there's a lot of zeros if I choose the first battery pack I want.
It'll probably be about 10 grand. Is how I've heard most swaps go. Just 10 grand.
It's always 10.
One of those swaps. Yeah, 10 grand for sure.
Mm-hmm. Everyone on the forums, they're like, oh yeah, no problem, 10,000. It bolts right in.
That's kind of what I was figuring, right? From the aesthetic standpoint, if I am doing EV, the best option most likely is going to be rear-wheel drive converting it then, because then I can just use the whole front end to house the batteries. So it's going to be, like I said, I'm going to be doing some math
there. That range, the 200 mile mark that you set for yourself is really ambitious, because like OEs still, like, I mean, that's kind of like with all their engineering and everything.
Yeah, but they have to put like important things in there, like side curtain airbags and, you know, structural rigidity and like
that's true. Know,
all those things that a Kai car or K car doesn't have.
That's very true. I don't know. I'm not discouraging you. I think that's sick. I think it'd be really cool. I'm just really curious because every time, I don't know, and you brought this up, Nick, every time I've ever seen a non-EV car converted to EV, the owner is always like proudly standing there with this massive battery pack in the back. And they're like, oh yeah, on a full charge, on a cool day, I can go 63 and a half miles as long as I have a tailwind. Yeah.
Right. No, and that's where I'm at. I got to get my math. Technically, I can fit enough of the Tesla battery packs up front, given where it's at.
Multiple?
Oh, yeah. They're super thin.
Yeah. You can have them in series and then layered on top of each other as long as the cooling is correctly done.
Yep. And my curb weight is, with a full tank of gas, according to Google, is 1,675 pounds. Otherwise,
yeah, that was going to be my next question, dude. I think it's doable. At least 150.
Yeah, well, and I think 150 could be some doableness as well. Like I said, I just never want to be in that range of spending the time, spending the money, and it's super cool for 36 miles, and then you're effed because it's your battery calculations were jacked and it doesn't work. So
what do you know EV West out in California? What do their like buses and bugs and stuff, like what range are they getting out of those?
It depends on what package you buy. I think some of the Porsches are getting up to like 100-150, but then it also depends if you're driving it spirited or not.
So like, I don't know what I'm just using the bug as an example because I know they do bugs, and I figure a Volkswagen bug has like roughly the same weight as a POW, probably give or take. So like if those are 150 and those cars cost like $100,000 plus, right?
That's because somebody else is building it.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just saying even if you do it all yourself, this is probably going to be a really expensive project.
Well, honestly, it's not that bad, because if you do a 912, and granted that's going to be on one of the more expensive side of things, they say to do everything like to the top, it's $50,000. So,
oh, okay.
That's it's not crazy. It's just crazy. But if you go on their website too, they sell a lot of this stuff. They're trying to be like really big. Like you can buy a Tesla small drive unit control board by $4,000. Like they have a ton of stuff on there that would make this a lot easier for you. Gotcha. Like you can buy, they have certain motors here for $5,000 each.
So, yeah, I'm just curious. And Nick, this is why I'm asking. I'm not trying to dissuade you. I think this is way cooler than a K-Swap. I just don't know anything about it. So,
and that's, I'm just getting learning into it. Like I said, I've bothered Andre a lot because I will be honest. My biggest thing is I just don't want to kill myself because I'm stupid and I don't pay attention. it's after I didn't ohm out my frickin' float, I was like, maybe I don't touch this. But
that's it. I never want to see gasoline again in my entire life.
This is it. No, it's and that's where it's at. So I'm trying to learn into it, kind of see what I can do, see kind of where by the time I'm ready for that, kind of what tech is and what can I learn to have fabrication and welding and things kind of taken care of by then. So yeah, I'm definitely looking into that. It's different than the K. But if I can get a proper distance out of it, I have started to learn a lot from Mark as well about Arduino and going ahead and building your own gauges recently. How to go ahead and use different automotive sensors and build your own full custom set of gauges for your vehicle. Because I think what it would be really cool then is if it can EV swap, but then I keep any of the readings in, lack of better words, a modified gauge cluster that looks like the factory on it. The kind of the goal would be take it to the hilt, make it look great, but still kind of hop in it and just be low, slammed, whatever, and look super nice, but not like, here's a giant iPad now on the dash of this vintage looking kind of thing. So
lots of
research going in, lots of YouTubes right now. I found a couple forums I'm going to start looking into, but it's just going to be how much, talking with guys, how much can I reasonably do it for? And I hate to do that to myself because I think it's arguably cooler and something I'm more interested in, but I also don't want to potentially get into a situation where I'm 60K in because of mistakes. And then I still haven't touched the paint and body and done the interior, but it's we're going to just look into it. And if it fails out, K-Swap is the backup. I don't think I can truly go wrong there either, but we're going to baby that MA-10S for a little bit more. And I'm just going to be happy to get it not on stilts a moment. So we're and
only thing I ask is if you do this, you change your license plate to Mark 1 Leaf or Gen 1 Leaf.
Oh, just run a Leaf drivetrain. Then you'll get 80 miles.
And it would be OEM.
Yeah.
but theirs is the only one that's air-cooled.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So hey, like we could hang out.
We could.
You could go to
Lyft. We could be best friends.
Oh, my God. Chuck Elliptical in Nepal. I'm air-cooled as well.
Sir, you have to leave. You're pouring up the place.
Exactly. I don't know. It's going to be cool looking into it. I hope it comes to fruition. Like I said, I've been kind of mapping, drawing things out, doing some math with it. So kind of hope it comes to fruition. Inadvertently on that, like I've already kind of pre-mapped some obviously modifications I'll have to do. I don't think running rear drums on electric rear motor is going to really hold up so hot after a while.
Could be fine. Can't see any problems there.
Nope, not at all. But I don't know. I think it could be interesting. The POW under the backside, once you drop the tank out, you have a pretty decent amount of room just up under there.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to deal with it. So I think we got some room and we're going to see what happens. But that is what's going on over here.
So ladies and gentlemen who are listening, by next episode, Nick will have this finished. So
and painted. And the 912 and the M3 will just be in the same crappy position they've been in.
That's correct.
The M3, the M3 will have the S54 in it.
No, the M3 will have no motor in it.
Exactly.
M3 will have no motor.
It'll be less mobile.
We will have removed 6 bolts as a hole on it while Nick finishes 3 more cars.
Correct. That's about right.
I only work in spurts. It's all or nothing.
But your all is one hell of an all, man.
No shit.
Of the 912, then, Drew, what's the updates, man?
All right. Well, I guess we'll
Which
start.
Bolt did you remove?
I actually added a bolt back into it so I could start it and drive it. I grounded everything. I've been working at like a one thing a week kind of pace. So like 1 week I bought an argon tank. The next week I bought a regulator for it. The week after that I bought a metal grinding or metal cutting saw piece for a compound miter saw. And then this week I bought garage lighting so I can actually work on stuff at night because my LED lights burnt out after 3 years. And so I've been taking care of that. Yeah. No, we're actually getting close to working on it. So,
I mean, at this rate, you'll have an entire fab shop by the time you retire.
Exactly. No, I'm so basically what the game plan is right now is, I installed new garage lighting. I'm just trying to make the space work a little bit more for me. And I have decided to go the Marie Kondo method of getting rid of stuff and realized I had car parts sitting in there for like 7 years. Like, so selling 2 engines right now. Actually, I already sold one. I'm getting rid of all my BMW 2002 stuff. I'm going to get rid of all my S2000 stuff. If it's not relevant to what I have right now, I'm getting rid of it. Like, I have a ton of bus stuff. I have a ton of Volkswagen, like, Beetle stuff. It's all going. At this point, I'm going to list it all for like 2 weeks And if nobody like buys it, I'm gonna throw it away. But I just I can't do anything because it's so cluttered in there. So that's my number one goal right now, is just getting that cleaned up, and then making the engine brace. And I have a couple parts that have been back ordered for, I think we're going on 7 weeks now. Nice. I was complaining to Oliver about one of its adapters. So the 912 oil temp sensor will work in the Type 4 engine, and there's only one company that makes this, and yeah, it's been back ordered forever. So I need to reach out to them actually, because they took my money. I still haven't received a part. But yeah, once that's done, then I'd feel a lot more confident driving it. It's just I don't know if I'm overheating or not. I did drive it to the gym and Lowe's the other day, and it was unbelievable. I was like, I don't know why I've been messing around. I've legit tried to buy 5 cars over the last 3 weeks, and nothing has worked out. I tried buying a Cayman, and that fell through. I tried buying a ZHP, that fell through. I tried buying an Audi RS4, that fell through. Tried looking at multiple BMWs, and those all fell through. Yeah, I've been trying to find E90s.
Lost your edge. Lost your edge.
I know. I feel like that song by LCD Sound System, where that's basically all he's talking about. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, like, everything's been super fluky and stuff. And then ended up buying a Tundra. Tundra's nice.
At the height of the truck market.
Dude, I know. It sucks.
But how much did that hurt?
about 18,500 hurt.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. It was in perfect condition. And it was like $5,000 cheaper than any Tundra that we were looking at. So
yeah,
that's joined the family and is very reliable. And I'm happy about that.
So on the 912, I have one pretty important question, because you posted a photo of it on your Instagram. So yeah, anyone who wants to go see 86th, what the hell is going on with your license plate mount?
So, dude, it's so zip tight. It's everything on that car is zip tied right now. Basically,
you couldn't have done it horizontally. A second zip tie?
No.
It's because, like, you know those mini truckers who all have the recessed license plates in like the tailgate, and so is it a crooked angle? That's what that reminds me of.
No, not only is it like crooked, but it's also like going in. No, I can't wait to get all the body panels back on there, including the rear deck lid, but we have some work to do until then. No, I'm hoping either next weekend or the weekend after I can get that engine brace done. It's not going to take long. I have a really good plan for it. There's a well-known local Volkswagen dude that was over here today, and we were kind of walking through the plan of what I should do to make sure that that's really secure. And it's not very difficult. It's just, you know, time, and right now just making sure that the garage is accessible, which it hasn't been. Like, every inch has been covered with stuff, and it's been frustrating. So that's why I was like, what
is, was the well-known Volkswagen guy Andre?
No, that's Andre's a BMW guy.
No, Andre's got two Volkswagens.
He's the gentleman.
Oh yeah, that's right, he is Mr. H2O.
H2OI.
Yeah. but he did turn down two water-cooled ones today. I thought it was a good deal.
Well, we'll get to that.
Oh, I tried to buy R32 as well, and that guy was super sketchy.
Mark IV or
Mark IV?
Right one.
Yep. I've been all over the place, but I don't know, it was so refreshing when I drove the 912. I was like, wow, this is actually everything that I want. Like, everything I want, I already have. I just need to finish a stupid project.
See, okay, that's what happened with the E36 and the S2000. Yeah. You said that way more eloquently than I did. You forget sometimes that the thing in your garage is the thing that you want, and so you start looking for something else, and then you just drive it for a week, and you're like, oh, I should just put more time and effort into this, not the
exactly
other thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about, like, doing the math on, like, the E90, which, you know, I do think the E90 would be an appreciating asset if you bought the right one, right configuration for the right price. And I was kind of excited about that idea. And then I went through the whole, like, man, it'd be really cool, like, because this RS4 was going to be a steal. I was really excited about that. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy this RS4, and then I'm going to buy a C63 from the same generation, and I'm going to sell those. I'm going to buy an E90 M3, and I'm going to figure out which one I love the most. I don't know. I was smoking some crack or something. I don't know. But
yeah, I was like, you should have just gotten the C63, and that'll have been...
Right.
Drew called me, what was it, an absolute idiot for making that suggestion?
Yeah. Especially after the DCT manual conversation, and the AMG C63 doesn't come with a manual, and if anything, it's a torque converter automatic.
Even better.
Yeah, I think they actually use the same one on that F-150.
Yeah, that's all you need for that amount of torque. God, yeah. Those things sound so good.
They do sound really good, and they
cut off the mufflers, roll down the windows. And that is all you need to do to that car, and it is perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, just as I said, I was doing the numbers on that. I'm like, you know, for what I would put into another car, A, that would distract me. But I could figure out how to keep this thing cool in the summer. I could spend the $2,500 or whatever it is on vintage air and install that, so it's all battery powered, like, or not it battery is powered, only
$2,500.
I think it's only $2,500.
Oh my god, why haven't you ordered that already?
Because the car doesn't run right now. Well, I guess it kind of runs, but
but check, we'll get it there. Hold on, if it doesn't run, you get the rest of that installed, so when it does run, you can immediately go.
You have AC. Just get, if it's vintage air is $2,500, you should have had ordered that yesterday.
Right, I know. I'm kind of screwed you with my money, but the vintage air is saying, well, this is for a Mustang. That's $1,400. I feel like that's not right. Electric air for 911, classicretrofit.com. Oh, that's only 3,000 euro.
Fine, that's still, I thought it was like $10,000.
That's $4,3900, I think. Then.
Bargain. We live in Arizona. You need AC.
Yeah, I think most people, yeah, no, I absolutely agree. But then I'd have to put vents in there. Then I'd have to finish the interior. I mean, that's a whole lot of work, guys. But yeah, no, it'd be absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it.
You need to order that. Like, get off this podcast and go order that right now.
Yeah.
I paid that much in Vanos refresh, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, I paid someone to rebuild the whole thing for me rather than buying the seals, but that way I only have to focus on installing it. But still, it's, again, tack S54 onto anything, double the price. Yeah. So
I'm trying to think of other things that I've done.
Anything to the 930?
No, I did. I drove it the other day, and that was fun. A little sweaty, but that's another car that could use it. Yeah.
No AC.
Yeah, really the biggest thing right now is just trying to get the garage taken care of, so, and decluttering my life so that way I can work efficiently and enjoyably. Because when you just have stuff everywhere, and then you compound that with children's stuff, and then like you just feel it's like an anxiety attack going out there when it's supposed to be something that's relaxing and more of a distraction from life, instead of being like, oh crap, this is everything I have to do just so I could start working on my car, then it's not as fun.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, you got in there. It sounds like you got a plan in place.
Yeah, those lights look awesome, so I can't wait to see it all come together. I should have you get rid of.
Dude, they're so bright. They're so bright, dude. They're cool. You'll have to come check them out.
If you end up throwing away that 2002 stuff, please let me know what dumpster it's in.
Yeah, I mean, one of it's a roundy bumper, so 72 bumper, front bumper. I hope that sells. If anybody needs it, Instagram.
I don't 86. Right now, but
all that trim, I'd like, dude, I probably have like $1,500 worth of trim. I'm gonna sell the HRE wheels that I have. Like,
boo, those are cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, I really want to focus. I want to get the 912. Done. I want the interior like really nice, and then I don't really care that much about the exterior. I want it to drive really well. I want to feel like $1 million when I'm sitting in the car. I don't care if it looks like shit box from the outside, But like,
but you put so much effort into polishing that paint.
Yeah, I know. Everybody reminds me.
You know. Sorry, I just have to give you. I have to give you a little bit of shit about how it looks on the outside.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the irony about that is like, me and Eric were at 4 Till 4, right next to it. Somebody had just spent $70,000 restoring their, well, maybe not $70,000, but probably a good $45,000 nut and bolt restoration on 912. It was not Mexico blue. It's a little bit lighter. It's like a pastel blue almost, and. Mm-hmm. A whole group of like these cyclists rolled up and they're like, oh my God, it's this car. I've been wanting to see this forever. I'm like, oh, they're going to check out this restored one. And they're like, here it is. And they're like looking at my car. I'm like, it's a shit box, but cool. And nobody cared about the rest. Yeah. Nobody cared about the restored one. And I don't know. It has a lot of personality and it's cool in that aspect. I want the interior to be nice. I'm kind of an interior. I like a nice interior.
So with the nice interior, are you going to rewire the car then?
Probably at some point. At least definitely the... I want to do like a... Is it Molly connector?
Mil-spec.
Mil-spec, thank you. Mil-spec connector for the engine, so that way it's easily, you know, 7 wires. I don't have to just connect it, just screw on. And then, yeah, I need to get underneath the dash and... rewire some of those elements.
I was gonna say, I think with the amount of wiring in the 912, you can accomplish that with a Molex plug.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, no, close. I remember pulling up your diagram. But yeah, no, if you're doing the interior, let's look at that harness.
Yeah,
because the last thing you want to do is, yeah, the last thing you want to do is put in a super nice interior and it's jarred one of the wires that was precariously hanging okay in the old interior.
Oh, God, it's so bad under there.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this looks great. Okay, now that's on fire. Crap, 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 crap.
So then that other can, like, this is the problem with these types of cars is... really, the only thing on there I can control right now, and this is kind of my game plan, is get the engine in there correctly, you know, have it wired correctly, have that functioning the way that it should be functioning with the oil cooler, engine temps, 10 yards there, and then pull the engine out, sit in the transmission off, get rebuilt, and then, you know, kind of do a refresh on that back end area where it's all kind of really nice, which is kind of goofy because the rest of the car is a shit box. But then when I get to the interior, like, I really want a nice interior, like I've been saying, but then my floor pans are not great, and so I'm like, well, do I spend the money and do the floor pans, and then that's gonna be either another year and a half or paying somebody $7,000? Like, what do I do there? So or do I just kind of live with them, or do I just kind of patch them? I don't know. That's it all starts a snowball.
Well, I guess the question from, I know that. I want to start brakes and a couple, $3,000 just to get brakes done is fun. But it's, we look at that, I say, if you're doing interior, do you want to go ahead and rip? Because when you say you want to do interior, what does that mean? Is that carpet and seats and headliner and dash and basically a full and seat belt? So you're like, everything looks just nice and clean and taken care of. Get yourself a proper Momo going on in there and like get that kind of done. Or is it just like,
I want to redo the seats,
carpet's okay, dash is fine kind of thing? Because if you're going to be pulling up carpets, you're going to be ripping everything out of there. It would kind of suck to say, all right, now you got to rip everything out again to fix the floors. Like, how bad are the floors?
Counterpoint. If you're not Flintstoning it and it's structurally safe, you live in Arizona, it's dry enough, leave it. This is what killed the 2002. It's that incremental scope creep. I should have fixed the shock towers. I should have slapped on the ITBs myself and I should have left it. That I gotta fix everything mentality can sometimes get in the way of ever enjoying the car again.
Yep,
and I'm not saying don't do it ever, but I'm saying if it's safe enough to drive on right now, you live in Arizona, some rust reformer, should hold you over until you're ready for that rotisserie style restoration.
Exactly.
Because I think you're a lot like me. You want everything to be perfect, and while you're there, it's hard not to.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Nick, to answer your question, yes, it would be door cards, it would be seats, it'd be reupholstering the back seats, new headliner because they put a gray headliner, it needs to be a white headliner, new dash, the whole nine yards in the interior to where it would feel the way I want it to feel. But that being said, a carpet kit would be $400 if I were to do that. I do have a pretty big size hole that they just patched over. I think they screwed in a plate. I don't know. It's been a while since I've looked at it, but structurally sound, the car feels pretty stiff because the rest of the parts are pretty good, but you could just tell that there was moisture that would get in and just sit in that one area. It wasn't the rockers. It wasn't anything like that. Yeah.
I mean, worst case, and this is just my opinion, and Nick, if you got a different one, feel free to throw it out there, but worst case, if that patch was done poorly, redo that patch.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Weld in some new sheet metal so it's like solid. It's not going to get any worse.
Exactly.
And then just put that interior in and wait until you're in a place where you can do that larger restoration, or you don't mind the car being down for 2-3 years.
Yeah, I don't want the car to be down for 2-3 years. And that's, you know, it's really interesting. And I don't know if you guys have encountered this on your forums, but the biggest thing that people say on the Porsche forums is, you know, just get the car going so you can drive it. Go enjoy the car. But, you know, don't wait 10 years to get it done.
Right. Yeah, drive the car. I'm with you there. That's kind of where I'm at with the S54 swap, is where I don't want this to become a game of scope creeping until it's like with a DCT. I'm like, that's super cool. And, you know, it's all out. I'm like, no, it's not necessary. Let's just,
that might be a good thing for like next summer or something like that.
Or, or after the car is painted, or if my manual transmission explodes. I don't know. That's just my two cents. I don't know. I know we all have a different way of tackling these projects, so I'm not arguing exactly. I'm just saying if I were in that position, learning what I did with the 2002, seeing as it's a similar vintage car, I would just fix what needs to be fixed and enjoy.
That's more or less where I'm at. And then, you know, that looking in possible replica ripoff Recaros that are pretty cool.
I mean, hopefully they're real. I know who you're talking about, but hopefully those are real. I mean, they look pretty legit. I'm just saying.
They look amazing, but
I've heard they're not. So,
yeah. But I mean, what makes a real Recaro?
Being manufactured in a Recaro plant.
Yeah, I know. Interesting enough, did you guys know that Recaro was part of a company that Porsche bought, and they bought all the company except for Recaro?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
They messed that one up.
Yep. Yeah. Anyways, Andre, I hear you have two new Volkswagens going to your house right now.
I do not.
But you could.
You should.
Well, we could start with something that you did do before we talk about anything that you should do. I heard you got a few new things for your 4Runner.
Oh, that's right. I got a roof rack with some lights on it.
Wasn't it like a pretty beefy one though? You sent me a photo. Like,
I mean, it's like a, I don't know. It was, the guy built it himself. It's like a one-off
deal.
It's pretty well made. Surprisingly, for being a homemade thing. It came with some cheap Amazon lights that I wired up last weekend. So
everything works. Cool.
Yeah. Except our state's on fire, so I can't go anywhere, but I have it.
Now.
And then I got the shittiest sport hood I could find.
For those who don't know, what is the sport hood?
It's the fantastic hood scoop. It's the hood with the hood scoop.
So
for good. The 4Runners, except it's paint stripped and slightly rusted and then clear coated, and the clear coat is failing, so it's in really good shape. It's in really
going for a 912 look.
Yeah, it appeared to be so.
Yes.
It's actually green underneath. It's weird.
They were looking for Irish green.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, the guy that I bought the roof rack off of had this wonderful specimen of a hood on his. And while we were doing the roof rack, I kind of casually in passing mentioned, like, man, I really want one of these hoods. And he was like, well, I'll trade you. So I went back and I traded him hoods. So now I have a hood scoop.
Because those things are pretty pricey, right? Like, the sport hoods are...
Honestly, Nick would know. I've never actually looked into buying one because, like, any time I'd ever see, like, a 400 part out, the hood would be, like, the first thing gone. So, like, I never actually bothered looking.
The most expensive part of the hood is the scoop. That's not a joke. The scoop in the center and all the parts to attach it are only available at a dealership. You can get a repop kind of hood for not a bad cost, but it's not a Toyota hood, but you can get a repop hood that people say fit very well, but the centerpieces alone can range up to like $300-$400 in the scoop area alone. So you either have to find the scoops from other ones. I think somebody said at one point they found an old RAV4 scoop could kind of work, but they are tough to come by and not cheap to put together.
Yeah, I would have never actually paid for this thing if I didn't get it for free. Like, there's no way I'm spending that kind of money on a pointless hood scoop for the 4Runner. Cool. So,
but you managed to score one for free, which is a hell of a deal. So
right. So for free, I'll take it all day long. Yeah. So that
works. So you're gonna like, you gonna like unclear coat it, sand it down, and paint it, or?
Realistically, probably not.
I'll just leave it as is.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, like those like discoveries where people put like the steel plate on the hoods.
Oh yeah.
You know, like the adventure, and they'll have like the limb risers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You should do that just over the rust.
I don't know. We'll see. All around the steel. If our state ever stops being on fire and I could actually go into the wilderness again, I'll see what it looks like with the light on driving. Like, it'll
just all be burnt.
No, I don't care about the scenery. I mean, like, if it reflects off the hood or not.
Oh, I see. Okay. Sorry. I follow now.
Because if it's super, like, reflective, then I might paint it black just so it doesn't, like, blind me when I have the light on. Yeah. If
that's it kind of a score.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty. It's pretty cool looking over. I've never owned anything with a hood scoop, so.
Is it a functional hood scoop?
No, it's completely blocked off. Although I was thinking, if I cut
you
it
can
out,
modify to make it functional.
I mean, it would be pretty easy just to cut the middle out and leak, because there's like a grate, there's like a metal grate, and then just like a black filler piece behind the grate. So if I cut that metal piece out, then it would be a functional hood scoop. Maybe like the engine.
I just don't understand why Toyota made that an option.
Because it looks
didn't make it functional, I guess.
Well, because yeah, just cut it out. What would it be functional for?
I don't know.
There's no intake up
there. Cooling things down? Yeah, but it would get some air, you know, like cool down the engine bay a little bit. I don't know.
Apparently doesn't matter enough to actually do.
I guess.
I'll send you the forum page. I think it's still saved on my laptop of the true exact cuts you need to do.
Oh, I was just gonna go at it with a Dremel.
Okay.
Have you seen
a Dremel?
Have you seen the 4Runner?
It's been a while.
There's no blueprinting or forum cutting here. There's just hacking until it works. This
it's
is not
a
car
center
precision.
Section of the scoop is gone itself. He just cut a hole.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut the scoop out completely. And then mount it to my roof.
There's an idea. And then make it functional.
Yes.
Of course.
To cool me off when I'm driving.
Just like 80 miles an hour, you have it directly aimed at you.
Ram air into my head.
The rest of the car is like, you know, calm and quiet. You're just in this torrential hurricane of a...
Yes.
Yeah. I like that. Cool. The roof rack, you're going to put anything up there? Is it just for the looks, or like, what's the plan with that?
I guess according to my previous tank of gas, I might just install another gas tank up there.
Gravity fed. I like it. Right. Don't have to worry about fuel pumps.
Yeah, simple. I just open a little valve and it'll just dump into my normal tank. No, I mean, like, just stuff if I ever go on, like, a longer adventure into the wilderness. I could actually take gas cans and other junk that I don't want inside the truck. He gave me some, with the roof rack came some mounts to put, like, a tent on top, like one of those, like Josh has. Shout out, Josh.
Oh, yeah. Shout out, Overland AZ.
I obviously don't have a tent, and I have no intention of spending money on a tent, but if Josh wants to lend me his, I wouldn't be, like, too opposed to that idea.
Nice. So it's, like, load-bearing. This, you can put
weight. Yeah, the guy there. The guy used it for 5 years to camp with his whole family up there, so.
Oh, wow. That's pretty sturdy.
Yeah, apparently it works pretty well.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited eventually, soon, to see it. Maybe this weekend. Is that the car you're bringing out?
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe not. Maybe not with the gas mileage it's getting.
That's fine.
I'll just give you my always full gas tank gauge. You'll be fine.
Perfect. Perfect.
I'm solved.
The roof rack's kind of perfect too, because it's like ratty and like beat up. Like it's like very used. And so it matches the patina of the truck very well. So it looks like I've had it for a while. Like it looks like, you know, it's been part of the truck for a while. So it kind of meshed together well.
That's pretty cool.
So I'm like full out poser. It's great.
Yeah. As you go to work and the grocery store.
Yep. Yep. Pretty much.
On your wild peaks. You and your Forerunner guys and your wild peaks.
Hell yeah, brother.
I guess that's the thing.
Apparently. It's because we're all cheap, and those are cheap tires.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but you're cheap, and then you could spend on other things in life, because your truck never breaks down, and your tires don't cost a fortune. So
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Who's the real winner in that situation?
Yeah.
Falcon. cool, man. So how are the other cars doing? Well, mainly the only other project that you have.
It's not. I started it once in the last 2 months.
Nice. And did it start on the first try?
It did.
Yeah.
That's good. See,
it wants to go.
And then have you thought about
selling it?
Yes, every day. Buy a Corvette?
Every day. Every day I wake up, every day I go to sleep.
Well, let me tell you what, dude. If you make that move, I'll buy you a pair of New Balances.
Yo. I love the Jetta, and I think you should do that. New Balances aren't cheap. Those are expensive shoes, man.
Yeah, I was going to try and get you guys pitching, but...
Yeah, okay, there it is.
I'll find them on Craigslist. They're New Balances. It doesn't mean they have to be new Balances.
Yeah, they're broken.
They got to be vintage to the year of the Corvette, so...
Mm. Drew already sent me the Venmo request. That was fast.
Yeah, I found some new old stock, only 61,000 footsteps on them. Pretty good.
Perfect.
Collector grade. Investment opportunity.
It comes with an American flag t-shirt.
From the Gap and from like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. The one where it's kind of wavy and not like, you know.
So what is up with the Mark II? We kind of talked about it. I think on another episode, but like it's, you don't drive it because it has some issues, right?
I think. So I've only driven it twice, technically. I drove it out to Nick's the day I bought it, and then I drove it to work the next Friday after that, and then I haven't touched it since. But
the first 1500?
If you come get it tonight, yes. So it'll like the first time I drove it, it started running hot after like it made it home and then it made it to Nick's just fine. And then as I was getting, I think Wendy's, we were in the drive thru and I like looked down and the temp gauge was like packed its bags and it was heading to the red zone real quick. But then like once I started driving again, it started cooling off, and then the whole way home, well, I guess the whole way home from Nick's, I couldn't see because the lights on the gauge cluster didn't work, so I couldn't see what was going on. but I made it home, so I assume it didn't overheat. And then the week after that, it did the same thing. It kind of like, it would run like at 3/4.
That's where my Mark II ran all the time. Like,
but if I let it sit, it would start to like creep up.
Yeah, mine did the same thing.
And then I'd start driving and it would like creep down to like 3/4. And so that kind of just like put me off because I didn't want to like go off for a drive and have it explode at a red light and he'll leave me stranded. And so I just haven't touched it since.
I mean, so I was thinking about it, like my Mark II did the same thing where like if you were sitting for an extended period of time, it would start to creep up. And it also ran past half. Like half was not normal operating temperature in that car. It was always like just under 3/4. And that's where it just loved to be. So I wonder if it's just normal for these. I don't know. Maybe mine had issues. I mean, clearly mine had issues. No one's arguing that, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like I said, I haven't done. Like that first week I did some, I started looking at some, like how much does like a radiator and a water pump cost? And then I closed those web pages and haven't looked at them since.
This week I found your radiator and a dual fan shroud and a 180 thermostat. If you want me to send those over,
just order them for him. What about an ABA swap? We talked about it.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work.
VR6
like is way more expensive.
More work and more money.
About the same amount of work, way more expensive. And an ABA swap lays all the groundwork for the VR6 swap if you ever choose to do that in the future.
What's the ABA?
It's the 2-liter 4-cylinder out of the Mark III. It's basically the economy engine, but what's nice about those is it's all like fuel injected. They're known for being very durable and they're cheap. You can get like a complete with wiring harness, full accessories, transmission, everything for like $250.
What if you took the engine out of Nick's car and then put that in?
I don't think Nick would want to do that.
Well, he's putting an electric engine in his.
Well, he's not doing that anytime soon. Well,
electric motors, I guess.
I mean, I can give him a Chinese 3RZ all day long. I can't promise
Done.
You.
Done.
You know what? That should fit. Let's do that.
I'm just saying, so the ABA, here's my pitch in digital person here on the podcast recorded. You can use your transmission, you can use your exhaust, you can use all your engine mounts. You need to do a little bit of wiring and you need to buy a spacer for the exhaust.
A little bit of wiring as in the entire wiring harness, because it's incorrect.
Not really, though. I mean, you got to replace the fuse box, but there's pinouts for it. And we happen to know a guy who's pretty good with wiring things who I think might help.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, I'm not that good.
Who me?
I was going to say Nick, but.
Oh, dang it. Sucks.
That's my pitch. I really think it makes a lot of sense and you can do it cheaply. And then it'll be durable. It'll have a little bit more power. Like they have decent pickup from that. And it's a light car, so it'll be...
That thing actually didn't have terrible power. I mean, it's slow, but it's like...
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, dangerous slow.
No, but, like, this will be just a little bit more of that, you know?
Right. Oh, you should put a K-Series in there, bud.
Or
yeah. That sounds cheap.
Way more money.
Player 3 enters the game.
I mean, electric swapping it.
Like, buy a used Accord for $2,000 with 200,000 miles on, and you'll be good.
Get a CB7. So the thing about those are, you know, they're surprisingly fast.
Have you heard of a Hayabusa motor? Hayabusa motor.
All right, Nick, what was your suggestion?
I'm gonna go back and use Oliver's own comment back from the last moment with Drew and go against swapping ABA a moment. Just go ahead. Buy your radiator, get a shroud, switch out your thermostat, and just drive it.
Yes, I agree. That was my first suggestion.
And then if you don't do that, ABA it. That makes sense to me. Gets you cheap and going. I'll help do a pinout. You're fine. But for the amount of money, we can just get a radiator in, get it going. I've played with way too much damn coolant. Let's go.
And I have the special socket you need to throw coilovers on that car.
For the top.
That is very true. You just showed me that.
I have a special socket.
Somehow I managed without it on the Mark III.
You can do it without it. It's just a pain in the butt. And if they're seized at all, then it really gets to be frustrating. So you don't have to have it, but I do have it. So.
Well, that makes it easy.
So we can slam it. You can make it run all nice. We can take it to Radwood in November.
Let's go.
Yeah, the idea of driving that thing out of, like, Phoenix period does not sound appealing to me.
Why?
Because I just assume it's going to crumble.
Listen, if my M3 has made it all these places, I think you'll be fine.
Listen, if a Chinese 3RZ took our ass to Radwood before with, like, a whole lot of how fast are you going? 75. Nope, you're going 90. We can go ahead and definitely get the Jetta out there.
And look,
we had way more reliable fuel injection than.
Okay, fine. Andre, if you're so worried about it.
Hold on. It sounds like we need to set a date for next year. We have like 8 months. It needs to be sometime while it's still cooled so I can enter this competition, but we can all take our project cars and see who can get the farthest away from Phoenix.
Oh, we go to the salt flats. Andre and I were talking about this.
We just drive until we break down and then we put a flag in the ground. That's how far we made it.
I make it like 7 miles up to 87, not as far as the S2000 before the motor mount caught on fire. But
oh my god. Great
That'd
idea.
Be great.
Andre, if it's any consolation, I feel like my Jetta made it to Vegas and yours is in way better condition. So yours should make it to LA, no problem.
Sure, but your Jetta made it to Vegas and then that was the end.
No. That's not what we're focusing on here. I drove my box from Phoenix to Vegas and it made it without a single problem.
If my car breaks down in California,
it's staying in California.
You better believe that's staying in California. I'm leaving that bitch on the side of the road.
It's not going to break down though. We'll have plenty of shakedown miles before then. We'll get the cooling system done, we'll get it going, and you'll have plenty of shakedown. See,
all
if,
three
like,
trips to work.
And yeah, it's that trusting of the shakedown. It's not like you just redid like all the timing belt, like water pump and everything, and then like drove 900 miles the next day. Like,
I know where this story is coming from.
Oh, hey, we could have that challenge too.
Mr. I did a clutch the day before and then went on the red ball.
That turned out pretty successful.
Yeah. Minus the fact it was boiling gas.
That wasn't
related to the clutch problem. That was just
something else terrifying.
Still also drove that car for a whole year straight after that. I miss that car. That was like the best $3,500 I ever spent on a car.
And you sold it for $9,000?
I don't know. Maybe $7,500. Yeah. $7,500 or $8,500 or something around there.
I would like to see something happen with the Mark II is all I was saying. It's, even if it's simple, let's get it back on the road. I make you a bet it's operating like it should be if it was anything like mine, where it's just they seem to run a little bit warm. But
yeah, and it's the surface of the sun outside, and it's like 80s technology. So yeah, if you like...
Well, that was in April before it was the surface of the sun. So
it was still a hot day.
Even,
I remember.
I don't even want to know what it's going to be like now.
I wanted to say that day was like close to 100 or something. It was like a part of a heat wave.
Yeah. So I think it's fine. I think throw a couple new cooling system parts on it, refresh it. Let's get it lowered on some OEM wheels per Andre spec.
Well, it already has those. So.
Perfect. So he just needs to lower.
I have an angle grinder if you want to sprint.
That's true.
Did you say anal grinder?
It is the Volkswagen way.
No comment.
All right, do we want to end on, is there any vet progress? Have you found anything?
Honestly, I kind of stopped looking because I'm not buying anything in this market.
That's
I'm not overpaying. I'm not overpaying for anything. Because I don't actually.
You could totally buy like a 1986 BMW 528e for $15,000. That's 280,000 miles on it. What the fuck is wrong with people?
You're like, I wish that were me.
Yeah, right.
No. It's actually, this is like the longest I've gone without buying stuff. It's depressing. I enjoy my little like one-off shit boxes that I buy and then drive for a couple times and then sell. Like it's fun and entertaining. I've lost that. It's been taken away from me.
Us too. Long time ago. Yeah. All right. Well, on that depressing note. I mean, we had a lot of project updates. Like, there's a lot going on right now, so it's pretty exciting. I'm hoping by next episode, I won't have an engine. Nick, your PAL will be fully EV converted, and Andre, you're gonna snap and buy a brand new C8.
That's probably more likely than me doing anything with the Mark II.
Right, that's true. Oh, and Drew, I don't know. You're gonna buy one more part.
Hopefully the engine brace will be done in the 912.
Nice. All right. So we've all set goals for next episode. We'll see how many of those come true.
I'll readjust my goals to just being lowered.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully your suspension arrives. So cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Good episode, and we'll try to get another one out here as soon as we've accomplished all those goals, so we can let you know how that went. Hopefully, well. So thanks for listening, and see you at the end of the year.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Just drive until we break down, and then we put a flag in the ground.